Along Petersburg's main downtown street, Ross Nanek III is selling his artwork from a table on the sidewalk. His hair is pulled back in a ponytail under a leather hat that's painted with Tlingit design in red, black, and turquoise.
Same thing as this.
What do you carve with?
Right now I'm using these to carve.
Nanek enjoys talking about his carvings and paintings. He's sort of a culture bearer, teaching about Tlingit artwork and history to Petersburg tourists and students.
I am Suktin Adi of Keh Kwan, and I come from the Tlingit.
Although Nanek knows his Tlingit name, he was never taught the language. His grandparents' generation didn't pass it on.
Assimilation has taken a big toll on our culture, and for over 100 years we were told to forget our ways. We were told that our totem poles and our carvings were works of the devil and we should burn them. There's a disconnect of just who we are.
Still, artifacts are everywhere on Mitkof Island, showing a long history of indigenous people.
Hi.
Hey. Come on up.
Jane Smith and Gina Esposito are archaeologists for the U.S. Forest Service in Petersburg, and it's their job to keep track of artifacts found in the area. Their offices are on the second floor of a downtown building, and it's just what you'd think it'd look like. Maps on the walls, shelves of rocks and bags of soil samples, a yellow hard hat on a backpack on the floor.
As you can see, we could use more space.
Organized chaos.
Yeah. That's what we have here.
We have soil probes here,
Soil probes.
Soil augers that help us find shell-midden sites.
Shell-midden sites are like prehistoric trash piles. Esposito says that Tlingit ancestors left mounds of shellfish remains, charcoal, and fish bones.
After they would harvest and eat and process, they would just toss it out outside their homes or outside their campsites or at their villages. And then over time, that builds up.
The rainforest grows over the piles, so the soil probes are used to find them. These sites indicate where people were living for long periods of time. And that's what Esposito and her colleague recently discovered less than a mile from Petersburg.
Right across from town, we've found evidence that there's village-sized sites across the Narrows.
The site was dated to 1,120 years ago. On Mitkof Island itself, they've discovered a 5,000-year-old fish trap. In fact, large-scale fish traps of various ages have been documented in all major waterways on the island. Smith and Esposito have worked together as an archaeology team for 20 years. Smith says their oldest discovery near Petersburg is a 10,000-year-old site containing stone tool remnants. It was also found on Kuprinoff Island near Petersburg.
And the material was obsidian, chert, jasper, chalcedony,
rhyolite,
quartz crystal, basalt, all these different types of stone that they had either traded or collected themselves and brought back to this area, and they were making tools.
It was almost,
it's really cool.
Like a little just tool-making spot. I mean, it was like a little factory of chipped stone tools. There was tiny microblades and flakes and of all different materials and colors, and it was beautiful stuff.
The pair tracks over 900 archaeology sites, including several rock paintings and carvings. Smith says they keep fastidious notes on the materials they collect and the GPS coordinates of the sites.
And one of the reasons that we want to know where they are is so when the Forest Service does an action, like builds a road or puts in an outhouse or whatever they're going to be doing that might be a ground-disturbing activity, we know where the archaeology sites are so we can avoid them.
Smith and Esposito work with Petersburg Indian Association, the local tribe, to try to connect what they've found in the field to traditional knowledge. The locations of the sites are not shared with the general public for fear of vandalism. But the story that's been perpetuated publicly is a different one. Published articles and websites say that Mitkof Island was never inhabited permanently by native people. It was an occasional stopover for fishermen and hunters for the past few thousand years. But that's not the entire story.
It's, it's kind of emotional, really.
Brenda Norheim is a board member for the local tribe. Like other Petersburg residents, she's grown up being told that no one was living around Petersburg when white settlers arrived. But that left a hole to her past. Where were her people? She didn't learn the answers at home. When her mother was growing up in Petersburg, there were signs that read, "No natives." She wasn't told traditional stories or taught the Tlingit language by her elders.
No, because when they were growing up, it was you weren't supposed to speak the language in schools. In fact, a lot of the kids were sent away to other schools, you know, in the lower 48 or out of Petersburg.
Norheim's grandfather was sent away to a boarding school in Sitka at the age of 9. Norheim knows people used to have more nomadic lifestyles and seasonal living situations in the past. So just because Mikhof Island didn't have what's considered a permanent town site in the European sense, does that mean that no one lived here? She has many unanswered questions.
Natives weren't allowed to buy land. So, you know, were they just not here because somebody said they weren't here?
Some of these questions might never get answered. What Norheim hopes for now is that the archaeology finds bring a shared history to town, one of indigenous natives and Norwegian settlers. Back on Petersburg's main street, Nanek watches the cars go by and says he's not surprised by what the archaeologists have been finding.
When we talk about ourselves, we say that we've been here since time immemorial.
He says the science just adds to what he already knows, that his people have been living on and around Mikhof Island for a very, very long time. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.